And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, the program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome aboard. So glad you could join me. We have a lot of information to cover in the following 2 hours. And yes, it is. I always say, you know, it's really an honor to be born for such a time as this. Talks about that in Esther. Because that way we all can, let's just say that we are all here on assignment and we need to figure out and ask God what that assignment is so that we can be a blessing to the world in a time of turmoil, which, believe me, the world is looking for answers. Now, we're going to be talking about this first segment anyway. Let me just open by saying this. We're going to hit the economy real hard here. Some are asking, what on earth is happening to the financial markets of the world? Is it just that, America sneezes so the world catches a cold? But that's one of the number one issues on the minds of a lot of people. And, well, Americans are concerned about America. Europeans are concerned about Europe. The kings of the East, China among them, are busy buying up America's debt, but sending all sorts of warnings to America. They're going to stop doing that if we don't get our economy under control and our debt under control. The Islamic world, well, they're playing us for fools when it comes to oil. But our politicians are the bigger fools because they won't let America drill for oil. And we have been learning in the last few months that there might be more oil, or at least as much oil, in North Dakota as there is in the Middle East. But we can't go there. And there are some other issues with that potential find as well. All right, so the world's in a mess. We understand that. And the Bible says God is in control, and some Christians have peace about things and some don't. I mean, it is admittedly difficult to feel peaceful as we see capitalism in America being disarmed and socialism put in its place. That's disquieting. No one's very happy about that except the socialists. Well, we're going to talk about these things. Oh, and then, by the way, I did spot an article. And we'll highlight a couple of other articles, too, but Alan Greenspan very recently said that the current crisis is by far the worst. He goes on to just clarify what he just said. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Greenspan said the financial crisis was by far the worst in history and called the recovery from the global recession extremely unbalanced. He says the world economy has undergone by far the greatest financial crisis globally ever. And he says that while the economy was in worse shape in the Great Depression, the recent financial crisis is potentially more harmful than that, in that in the 1930s, there was not a, well, basically, they never had short-term credit literally withdrawn. Which is what's kind of going on today, which brings the economy then to a halt. Well, that's from a former financial guru who was chairman of the Federal Reserve some time ago. And so, again, I return to my original question. What on earth is happening to the financial markets of the world? And I like to bring on Jerry Robinson when we talk about some of these issues, and I'm going to give contact information and other kinds of information about Jerry as we move along into this hour. So, Jerry, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Well, as always, it's great to be a guest on the program, Jan. Thank you for having me.
Jerry, some are asking, and I'm one of them, I'm posing the question about the dilemma here that we have seen some enormous fiscal damage to America, and it seems like it is so severe that it could never get healed. There could never be a turnaround financially just because of what's happened in the last year. Add to that the daily further corruption going on. And there's a mood in America of fear and other things. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But have our leaders, do you think, have they gone too far fiscally so that the point of no return has passed? And we keep hearing talk, Jerry, about a recovery. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Jan, I think that, you know, there's an old adage that says when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you should do is stop digging. And I think that's where America has found itself. I mean, we find ourselves in basically a state of complete bankruptcy. You know, our financial institutions are teetering on the edge. Many of our government institutions are failing to perform the very functions they were set up to perform. And what's happened as of late, what you're referring to over the last couple of years, is this bailout mentality that the federal government has run to the aid of many of the financial institutions and even other agencies, and they have bailed them out. And this creates in economics something known as, it's a phrase, it's called moral hazard. Mm-hmm. And all that means is that whenever a bailout occurs once, then the idea, the psychological impact of that is, well, we can carry on again and they'll bail us out again. Just like a child who maybe puts his hand into the cookie jar. If he gets one cookie and gets away with it, he's going to reach and try to get another one. And that is one of the psychological impacts of this moral hazard. The fear is that when do we stop bailing out? Do we bail out California? Do we bail out Michigan? I mean, where does it stop? And if there is no place where it stops, then we enter a total downward spiral. Europe is facing the same thing.
Yes.
They have Greece, they have Spain, they have Portugal, they have Italy, they have Ireland. They have, of course, Britain across the pond is also failing. And so, you know, what is Europe to do? So we have entered a massive state of moral hazard. And when George W. Bush said that he had to abandon free market principles to save the free market system, that was the very beginning of this downfall. Up until that time, we had created this sense of an illusion that everything was okay. But when the government began to move to sacrifice free market principles and tried to prop things up, that's whenever the thing began to go down. Now, it's not as if we haven't been doing that for eons. But just this latest incident, obviously, as Greenspan had pointed out, has been one of the most severe, as he calls it, the most severe in history. So certainly, it's a very challenging time. I don't know if it is possible for America to reemerge as it once was back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. The reason is because we are in the cycle of empires, and we have had our day in the sun, so to speak. Now we have challengers. In the 40s and 50s, China wasn't necessarily an economic threat. Europe was not necessarily an economic threat. Now, Europe, China, India, they're not only are they economic threats, they're threatening to become political threats.
Mm-hmm.
When China's economic power turns into political prowess, that's going to be a day of reckoning for the United States.
By the way, Jerry Robinson is the chief economic strategist at Maker Group Financial, LLC, and he is the founder of the Christian Financial Advisor Network. I'll say more about that later. And director of Jerry Robinson Ministries International, JRMI.org. I'll give that website again. There are two products that we're going to be kind of emphasizing this hour, and both of them are on my website. And why don't I do that just a little bit later so that we can move on in our discussion. Jerry Robinson, many suggest, and I am one of them, and I am pretty mild and pretty conservative when it comes to conspiracy issues. I am moderating on that a whole lot because I'm seeing some things that make me very uncomfortable. But there are some who say that what's happening to America, and I'm speaking heavily here on economy and the socialization of America. But let's just leave it with the economy for now. That this is being done in a deliberate way, that the economy is being harmed deliberately. Do you believe this is possible?
Well, certainly it's possible. I think that one of the things to keep in mind is that much of the financial decisions for the United States of America come out of two areas. They come out of the Federal Reserve, which is basically setting interest rate targets, controlling the money supply, along with the U.S. Treasury Department. And so those two particular agencies, and we need to be careful when we say the Federal Reserve is an agency, because I think it's all common knowledge probably to your listeners now that it's not a government organization. Instead, it's a private corporation that has a lot of government rights, so to speak. But as far as these two seem to be manufacturing, and there are other organizations that are part of this of these financial decisions. But these two really sit at the top of the heap. And there has been a lot of questioning as to the wisdom of their actions. And I think that we need to be careful because, A, running an economy like the United States of America is a very challenging task. Europe is finding out the same thing. You know, both the EU and the United States are both mired right now in a lot of debt. They have a lot of problems, and to run an economy like this is not, you know, it's a lot like rocket science. It is very difficult because you have so many unknown variables. The Federal Reserve is in charge over the state of Texas, just as it's in charge over the state of Michigan. It has to try to provide full employment for both of those states. So it's a very challenging task to have to run the economy when the economy is doing what's happening, when things are unraveling. So, A, there really is a lot of hard decisions that have to be made and a lot of mistakes that can be made because there's men at the helm. However, with all that being said, there does seem to be some very intentional wrong type of decisions being made for no other reason than what you suggested, the fact that perhaps they're moving us towards a system whereby we will be more dependent upon them, not less dependent upon them.
Yeah.
And I certainly believe that in many of our teachings, we talk about how we do see that coming to a head eventually. Even this morning, Jan, I saw there was a story, the head of the IMF was calling for a global reserve currency. So they're breaking us in slowly, and I believe that we're beginning to see the beginning stages of this. It'll take several years.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying, and I would agree, is things that are happening are happening in a process, and we may be in some early or maybe a little bit past early stages of the process, and maybe it even began before September of 2008 under George Bush. These things don't happen overnight. So this has probably been going on for, who knows, a decade, maybe more than that. But, Jerry, there are some psychological things happening that many are struggling with. And let me just list a few of them, and we can talk about some of these things from a biblical perspective, perhaps a little bit later. But for instance, we have the fear right now. We have the fear of spending money. A lot of people are afraid to spend money. We have an attitude of mistrust going on. We have a lot of Christians getting their focus off of God and onto material things that they fear they're going to lose. And you know, folks, I don't say that in a condemning way at all. Believe me, I don't. We have some that are speaking about being in an emotional turndown. We have some who've lost a lot of money, and that's put them into a serious depression. We have many who feel insecure. I see no solution to some of the problems other than some of the biblical promises of God.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, I've seen some very destitute people. And, you know, one of the things that we've noticed even is the fact that hunger is rising, food stamp usage is rising.
Mm-hmm.
Psychological impact from this economic crisis is striking many. I know many churches are trying to grapple with these by offering financial counseling services to their congregation, and many are searching for answers. And I think you're exactly right. It sounds so cliche to say that, well, just turn to God, He'll have the answers. Well, the truth of the matter is, Jan, you're right. He really does. The Bible has so much to say about money, wealth, and possessions. And I think that it's just unfortunate that many of us have listened to the very loud culture,
mm-hmm.
because the culture is so loud and it teaches us how to use money. I mean, we drive down the road, we see billboards, we turn on the TV, we see ads, we open the newspaper or magazine, turn on the radio, it doesn't matter where we go. we're constantly being taught how to use money by the culture. And if we take our lessons and cues from the culture, then we obviously are going to have consequences from that. And God actually has his own system. He talks about saving. He talks about spending. He talks about investing. And he talks about tithing and giving. I mean, he lists all, making money. I mean, he earning. He talks about all this in his word. And I think that, you know, getting back to the basics on what God has to say about money is probably one of the most important messages that Christians can hear right now. And that's what we're committed to.
Yes. Well, let me mention a couple of your products, and then I want that is going to be a segue into what I want to talk about in a minute here. But you have a brand new DVD out, which is called The Death of the Dollar, How We Got Here and What You Can Do About It. And I'll just say parenthetically, Jerry, so a lot of people don't understand. I can be fuzzy on it myself. The death of the dollar, what does that mean? Is that such a big deal? And secondly, your book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation, 12 Key Strategies for Protecting Your Finances in These Uncertain Times. Folks, both of these products are on my website, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, and go to products. The Death of the Dollar is a DVD, and Bankruptcy of Our Nation, which is a, I don't know, that's a fairly thick book. I don't know how many pages, 270 or so. So you can get those products. But Jerry Robinson, all right, I just said you've put out a new DVD, The Death of the Dollar, How We Got Here and What You Can Do About It. Why is the U.S. dollar on the brink of collapse?
Well, I mean, there really are a number of reasons. You know, the very first reason that we try to point out is the fact that the purchasing power of the dollar has just gone down dramatically over time. And that's something simply known as inflation. You know, inflation is when the powers that be raise the money supply. And when the money supply goes up, it causes an increase in prices. And the government has not done a very good job, I should say, the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury have not done a very good job of keeping the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar stable. What they've actually done is they have caused it to lose value. If you remember back in 1968, the average price for a movie ticket was $1.31. Now it's $7. Mm-hmm. McDonald's hamburger, which cost about $1 today, used to cost 15 cents back in 1966. And those, you know, those obviously, people can think about all kinds of things, houses, cars. And what has happened is that in addition to technological advancements and in addition to things, you know, obviously becoming better over time, we've also had a declining value of the dollar. And so when the government prints money, it causes the money supply to increase, obviously, and then it causes the value of the dollar to go down. Now, the second reason why the dollar has entered into this seemingly downward spiral is because the government lacks a strong dollar policy. It appears that every single time we enter a crisis, it sacrifices the dollar to get us through it. You know, back in 87, Greenspan entered into the, Alan Greenspan, who you mentioned earlier, he entered into the Federal Reserve. There was a stock market crash, and his response to it was to inflate the monetary base. He cut rates. 94, we had a similar crisis in Mexico. Greenspan responded by cutting rates. 98, the Russian ruble crisis. Greenspan cut rates. Dot-com crash, he cut rates. 2001, September 11, he cut rates. 2003, the recession, he cut rates. And when you cut rates, you harm the dollar. You harm the economy, because what happens is money all around the world flows to the rate of highest return. And so if we lower our interest rates, that slows down the flow of money to us. And in an economic way, in an economic sense, it does harm the dollar. And because the Federal Reserve has held rates so low and continue to hold rates so low right now, it's continuing to harm the dollar. Nevertheless, the Treasury Secretary will get up, and anytime he's questioned about the dollar, he'll always give his parrot answer and say, we have a strong dollar policy, and it's completely absurd, because they are actually having a very weak dollar policy.
Right.
And
but, I think you told me, Jerry, forgive me for interrupting, but you told me that you think that the dollar could hang on for another 10 years. I find that startlingly significant, because I think many are thinking this dollar is going to go away, the emphasis on the dollar. within another year or two.
No. I don't believe that at all. I believe the dollar could even hold on for another 20 or 30 years. Now, when I say hold on, what I mean by that is that it will certainly lose its global reserve status. I mean, think about the British pound. I mean, there was a time when the British pound was a key reserve currency of the world. It's no longer, but it's still around. It doesn't have the same power that it once had. So we believe the dollar is going to lose its place in the world as the key reserve currency over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime between now and 2020, we believe it'll completely go away as far as the key reserve currency, but it'll still exist until something else replaces it specifically. But we think that the euro, which obviously is having problems right now, it's not
stable enough.
Yeah, it's not stable enough to take over the dollar currently. The yuan over in China is also not in a place where it could actually succeed the dollar quite yet. So we're in a weird place right now, Jan, where the dollar's crumbling, but there really are no strong potential suitors to take over. So we need a few more years of just kind of wait and see where things are going before I think the public at large all over the world can safely hedge their bets on a different currency. For now, the dollar just continues to be the currency we love to hate.
Do you have any suggestion on what will be the currency that's going to come in and take the place of the dollar? And maybe this is going to happen in increments, and maybe there's going to be some regional currencies. But what happens when the dollar finally crashes?
Well, it'll probably be a slow, systematic decline. They'll probably manage it all the way down, and then force the public to want something else.
Okay.
When Europe implemented the euro back in 2002, when it actually hit the streets in 2002, they obviously took on a grand experiment to try to bring all of these different nations together, France and Germany, I mean, who had fought bloody wars in Italy. All these nations came into this union, all with different philosophies about money, all with different cultural views, and they all adopted one single currency. That was a very challenging task. I mean, the fact that the European Union even attempted that was amazing. And the fact that it lasted more than a few months was actually amazing. So the euro really is the prototype for future regional currencies like we might see here in the United States. There was one proposed by a gentleman by the name of Robert Pastor called the North American Union, and a currency that would represent it called the Amero, which we never gave any credit to. We saw it as possibly a precursor to something eventually. But we do believe that the euro itself is a prototype for other types of regional currencies, and that's why all eyes who are wanting a global currency have their eyes fixated upon the euro. Because if the euro fails, then they have to go back to the drawing board for their global currency. The euro really is the prototype. If they can make the euro work, then they can implement something very similar in Asia. Asia is going to be a very difficult place to have a single currency, but they're going to try.
Well,
go ahead.
Isn't this, Jerry, leading up to the frequent theme on this program? Isn't this all leading up to sort of a global society with one world currency, one world everything?
Eventually it will. But they can't even get one regional currency right yet. If they were to impose a single global currency, let's say in 2011, number one, no nation would accept it. You'd be hard-pressed to find it. And B, people would be dying in the street because there would be absolutely positively no way to control the money supply on that broad of a measure because they're still trying to work out the kinks with these regional currencies. Mm-hmm. That's why Europe has to work. That's why the euro is not going to fail. We expect the euro to really dip. And we saw George Soros, by the way, who made $1 billion profit off of betting against the British pound back, not too long ago, well, several years ago. But he is now betting against the euro. But he knows that the euro is not going to go away. It's been in the making for five decades. There's way too many men who want it to succeed. So the euro is that regional currency that becomes a prototype for a single global currency. But we believe that we're still several years away from actually seeing that happen because of all the intricacies.
All right, if you want to learn a little bit more about what we're talking about, you can visit Jerry Robinson's website, which is jrmi.org, jrmi.org. And Jerry also hosts the Jerry Robinson Show, which is a weekly radio program. And again, the product I'm focusing in heavily on is the death of the dollar and how we got here and what you can do about it, but also his book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation. Both are found at my website. Jerry, I need a bit of a short answer, and if we can't finish, we can pick it up on the other side of a break. But what happens if the U.S. government cannot find the money to borrow to operate? I mean, then do printing presses just roll?
Yeah, that's what every other country has done. First, if they won't raise taxes and if they won't cut spending, well, the only other choice left to do is borrow or print. And we've borrowed our way up to our eyeballs, mm-hmm. and so printing becomes the fourth option and the only option left. So either A, drastically cut spending, which I think would be obviously a very good answer, B, raise taxes, which who are you going to raise taxes on, or C, print money. And the easiest, most politically convenient thing to do is to print money.
All right, and then that leads to hyperinflation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, okay, so I don't think either you or I are real optimistic about this current administration solving some of these problems, as a matter of fact. And we can pick up on this in a minute. I'm going to have to head into a break shortly. But I don't think we see this current administration too worried about cutting spending. They are addicted to spend, and tax. I mean, the very air we breathe is going to be taxed eventually. And it's just a vicious, vicious cycle that's going on. And that's why I asked when I opened this program a few minutes ago, is some of this being done deliberately so that America simply cannot recover? And you know, I mean, I think that that is kind of a rhetorical question, because that is the only answer. Now, what's behind that kind of thinking? Is somebody trying to bring America down? I don't know. I certainly wouldn't want to make that accusation of any individual or administration, but it is extremely suspicious when all the practical things that need to be done to restore our economy, including cutting taxes, just the opposite is taking place. And it seems like no one in Washington is listening. And Jerry, that is one of the other frustrations, is that people feel their representatives don't care one whit about what we think when it comes to the economy. I want to ask you to respond to that when we get back from another side of the bottom of the hour break. Folks, let me just make one or two quick announcements, and then we're going to move ahead here. But again, I invite you to become a CD subscriber to Understanding the Times Radio. And that is $25 a month for two CDs a week of everything we do on this program, because some of our stations are getting only 1 hour and other outlets are carrying it in half-hour segments. So to get the full 2 hours, $25 a month CD subscription, 763-493-3010, or visit the website and send us an email, olivetreeviews.org. Also want to just quickly mention, and by the way, also say that all of our programming goes up on my website. The live weekend programming is on my website, olivetreeviews.org, by Sunday evening. So if you miss part of it, and incidentally, here again to my Twin Cities audience, and some of you might be straining with reception problems, we now simulcast with AM 980 KKMS Minneapolis St. Paul and AM 1280 WWTC The Patriot, 9 a.m. on Saturday Central Time. So if you're having reception issues, you can always go over to The Patriot, which has a signal heading in a different direction. All right, please remember that this is listener-supported programming. We cannot carry on without both your prayerful and financial input into the ministry and radio. Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell, your host. I am coming right back.
Our reminder to Radio Archive listeners and podcasters that the Understanding the Times radio show is totally listener-supported. We air on several radio stations, which allows us to bring our programming to you. Would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries for the radio outreach? You can send a check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also donate and order safely online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-493-3010. And thanks for partnering with this ministry committed to helping you understand the times and contend for the faith.
Welcome back to Jan Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Thank you for sticking with me for part two of hour one. We're going to resume talking here with Jerry Robinson on some of the economic dilemmas. Obviously, Americans are most concerned about America. Europeans are worrying about Europe. But all our players on this chessboard, including the oil powers of the world, they are as well. We'll get to that in just 1 minute. And we do have a spring conference coming up April 24th. It's kind of a mini conference, 9 to 4. On Saturday, April 24th, this time at North Heights Lutheran Church. And you need to arrive early because of limited seating, which is why we had to leave that facility, folks, for our fall events, which are drawing far, far, far too many people. So this is a mini conference, but Eric Barger on deception, discernment issues, Dr. Gary Fraser on eschatology, Bible prophecy, and current events. Fraser travels with the Left Behind team of Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinsohn. And just mark it on your calendar for now. Boy, you know, folks, you wouldn't believe what I'm doing in here. I guess somebody sent me a book. I won't tell you what her name is. It's called Tweeting for Dummies. So I'm in here tweeting on Saturdays. And, I know I never thought I'd cave to this. Kind of upsets me. But anyway, as long as I can follow the book, Tweeting for Dummies, you know what? I can probably survive. I started this program out by asking, basically, well, to put it in a sentence, what on earth is happening to the financial markets of the world? And is it that just when America sneezes, the whole world catches a cold? Now, I'm asking all of these questions to Jerry Robinson, and he heads Jerry Robinson Ministries International. Find more information, including a ton of articles on the economy, at jrmi.org, jrmi.org. And we'll say just a little bit more about the organization he's recently put together. But he is chief economic strategist at Maker Group Financial, LLC, and founder of the Christian Financial Advisor Network. We want to say more about that in a moment. And we're focusing on a couple of his products, The Death of the Dollar, a new DVD, How We Got Here and What You Can Do About It. It's on my website, and Bankruptcy of Our Nation, a book also by him on my website. And Jerry, as I went into the break, I said we'd have to pick it up on the other side. And I think in the interest of time, let me just ask you this. And, you know, be as succinct as you can, but please don't leave out things that would be pretty important to our listeners. Give us your economic forecast in easy-to-understand terms.
Well, will we be talking about just the United States in general or globally?
Well, let's for sure start with the U.S. If you want to transition into globally, I think that's very important. Yeah, but we have so much material to cover, I just wanted you to do it in the Reader's Digest form.
It is really difficult to cover all this in 1 hour, but I tell you what, the U.S. economy, we believe, is obviously not going to get any better before it gets worse. We feel that we've only seen the setup before the main event. We fully expect U.S. real estate market here in the United States to continue to go down. We expect to see foreclosures continue to rise. And I know that's bad news.
Yeah.
But the reason is because of many faulty loans that were made back in 2005, 2006. It's a new subprime crisis. And these are known as option ARMs and Alt-A loans. And these will be coming out over the next couple of years, especially this year and next year. Now, we're going to see a big wave of more foreclosures. Now, the Obama administration has talked about stopping and banning all foreclosures, and that will actually make things worse. That will cause the prices of houses to go down. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen with all of that on the political side, but we do expect to see the real estate market to continue taking it on the chin. We also expect to see the commercial real estate market to continue to suffer massive losses, and this will lead to many small and regional banks across the United States to close. We expect to see a record number of bank failures for this decade in 2010, for the last 10 years. The FDIC obviously is teetering on the edge. They have a government credit card, so they will be fine. Don't worry about your FDIC insured deposits from our perspective, because the government will not allow that institution to fail. It'll print money all day long to keep the illusion going for the banking industry.
Yeah, and create hyperinflation.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it risks hyperinflation, yeah, they'll do whatever it takes to ensure that people believe in the banking industry. Now, as far as the dollar itself, we expect to see, you know, short-term pops. I mean, right now the dollar is in an upward movement, obviously, against the euro, because the euro is going down. We expect to see the dollar in a long-term downward trend. We expect by 2020 to see the dollar completely lose its reserve status as a global reserve currency. And we expect to see the United States and Britain both lose their AAA credit rating, mm-hmm, by the end of this decade, which is going to be obviously severe, and that will mean that interest rates will no longer be able to be low. We think interest rates are going to go higher, but we don't think they're going to go higher this year. We think the Fed's going to keep interest rates low until 2011, possibly even 2012, because they're fearful that the recovery will be harmed if they raise interest rates. The problem is that if they don't raise interest rates now, they're putting the whole nation at risk of hyperinflation because they've printed way too much money. And so we fully expect to see rates increased by 2012, and they're going to have to do a massive rate hike campaign to manage all the money that's out there. And so interest rates we expect to skyrocket. Obviously taxes, which, believe it or not, Jan, are historically low. And mm-hmm, I know that's hard to believe, mm-hmm, but if you take a look at the top marginal income tax rate, we find that it is historically low. We think those rates are going to go sky high, which builds the case for people to talk to their financial advisor about possibly cashing out of their traditional IRA now and moving to a Roth IRA and paying the tax bill now. Because remember, we have a $12 trillion debt. We have $60-plus trillion in unfunded obligations. And eventually the bill has to be paid. Do you want the government to pay the bill with your retirement distributions, mm-hmm, 20 years from now? It might be a good idea to pay the tax bill now before they catch on. So obviously the Roth IRA provides that. There's other products out there. But talk to your financial advisor about something along those lines if you're interested.
Jerry, I have to ask you this because, as you know, the clock ticks away here. What about gold? How do you see gold and silver fitting in to the scenario you're talking about?
We love silver. We think silver is a great place to be. We think right now it's tremendously underpriced. We think gold is also a great place to be as well. Gold and silver are inflation hedges, and they're great savings vehicles. We don't view them as investments. So if you want to save money and you want to save it to protect against the loss of purchasing power, mm-hmm, or obviously inflation, then gold and silver become a great vehicle for that. Well, we don't want to put all of our money into gold and silver because obviously we'd be unbalanced. We need to be diversified. We fully expect to see gold reaching, you know, upwards of $5,000. Over the next several years, we think silver also has a lot of upside. We believe that we could see $100 silver by 2012. Right now, it's sitting at about somewhere between $15 and $17. I didn't check the price.
And you said gold, $5,000. You meant $5,000 an ounce.
$5,000 an ounce, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
All right. The other thing, and by the way, I don't want to stop you if you want to continue on with your perspective here. I do have a bunch of other questions for you.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is that oil prices, we believe oil prices will begin to skyrocket over the next several years,
yes,
back to that place where we once saw. And another interesting point I think we're going to see over the next 10 years, just something to keep your eyes on, is we believe that Iraq, which sits upon currently the second largest oil reserves in the world, is going to be fully exploited by Western countries. And we believe Iraq, ironically enough, is going to become one of the major success stories of the next decade as their oil is fully exploited and they begin to rise in prominence over in the Middle East. It's highly possible that they could lead a renaissance in the Middle East and even lead to a eventual regional currency in that area.
Okay, resetting the stage, you're listening to the voice of Jerry Robinson, who heads Jerry Robinson Ministry International, JRMI.org. We need to still talk about his Christian Financial Advisor Network, and we will. And I highly recommend the new DVD, The Death of the Dollar, How We Got Here and What You Can Do About It. It's on my website, olivetreeviews.org. Go to products and his book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation, 12 Key Strategies for Protecting Your Finances in These Uncertain Times. Also on my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to products. I was asking about gold, and my mind went to another issue, Jerry, and how this plays in. And it plays in big time. Sometimes it takes an economist to explain it all, but we have – by the way, I want you to – when you finish with this question, go back to how you see the things unfolding on a global level. But we, in America, we have an aging population. We have baby boomers who are getting old, and they're going to get sick, and then they need government help through Social Security and so forth. So how do you see this playing in?
Well, obviously, the funded obligations that we have for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, those bills are outrageous. And the fact that we could even consider for even a moment taking on universal health care as a cost right now,
mm-hmm,
is simply staggering. We fully expect to see Social Security benefits cut. Jan, it's terrible to hear that, isn't it? I mean, this was the very first year that cost of living adjustments were not made to the Social Security since the COLA increases were put,
mm-hmm,
in place,
mm-hmm,
several years ago. So that was obviously astounding, and that shows the beginning of maybe a crack in the illusion of the Social Security plan. Also, Medicare recipients, their prescription drug premiums, they went up this year by a factor of about 10 to 11% at least. So there was actually a net loss for seniors. We expect this to become a trend, that the government simply cannot afford to pay all of its unfunded obligations, and the only way to do it, again, is to print money, or which would definitely hurt seniors who are on a fixed income, or it will mean that they're going to have to cut benefits or raise taxes. And so they've really got themselves back into a corner. We fully expect they're going to have to cut benefits, and more than likely it's going to have to come at the expense of those who've been promised, things such as Social Security. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy, and this is what happens to nations when they move into this excessive place that we are. Massive excesses, excessive consumption, excessive spending, a lack of sacrifice.
Yes.
Here we are, and this is the fruit of our labor.
But those that are perpetrating what you just outlined there do not care, it would seem, because their ears are deaf to the pleas of the people to stop jeopardizing the next generation and the next generation. That is, assuming we have several more generations, and maybe we do and maybe we don't. Their ears are plugged. They don't care. They don't care. They're falling on their swords so that this president can get anything he wants, including the total socialization of America, which health care is all about socializing America. It's not about improving our health care.
Yeah, I can't add much to that, Jan.
Well, let's go on. Let's give us a thumbnail view then of the projection that you have of the global economy. And I apologize, we need to do it in soundbite form, but that's radio,
sure,
and we'll live with it. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, we fully expect the euro to recover. We think that it's going to suffer fairly dramatically from the current crisis over there, loss of confidence. We think the euro is going to survive, that the European Union will survive all of this. They're probably going to have to take drastic measures, but that experiment will not be allowed to fail. We think Britain is going to lose its AAA credit status rating over the next several months, possibly even this year or next. We also believe that that we're going to see an integration in Asia and in Africa towards a regional currency. We think that could happen within the next 5 to 10 years. And so what we're beginning to watch for now is global elitists around the world are going to take advantage of the currency crisis that is happening in Europe and that's happening in the United States to push for other nations to move towards regional currencies in the name of safety and in the name of fiscal responsibility and responsibility for the citizens. They're going to use these crises and basically say, now is the time for us to integrate economically for the safety of all. And we expect to see this happen in Asia. We expect to see this happen in Africa. And we also expect to see it happen in the Middle East. It could happen in the North America area, but we believe that time is still far out because too many people are still attached to the U.S. dollar.
All right, but let me throw this in quickly since our first hour, and Jerry's going to stay with me another 15 minutes into the next hour. But as we speak, let's just take China because that's such a major player. I'm kind of bringing it back to America now, but you know, we got overseas and we got here. China is starting to scold us. And what happens when they stop buying up our debt and dealing with our debt?
Well, I mean, they've basically been the funder of our massive deficit spending. They've
absolutely.
Allowed us.
What happens when they say enough is enough?
Well, I mean, that's basically what they have been doing. I mean, the report came out in December that for the first time, China, they sold a record amount, $34.2 billion in our debt. So China is beginning to sell off the debt that it's holding. Japan has now surpassed China as the number one debt holder of U.S. debt. So China is beginning to wane down. And rumors are, and these rumors are coming from fairly strong sources, that China is moving out of U.S. debt and moving towards gold, silver, and other types of precious metals, and because they see the writing on the wall. What happens when that happens, basically, is that the United States only is left with either A, finding a borrower to replace China, or B, they have to go print money, because the Federal Reserve is the lender of last resort. If China won't lend to us, then the Federal Reserve is by charge, by definition, they have to lend to the United States government. That's their function. And so the Federal Reserve would become the default. They would replace China as the lender.
All right.
And of course, the Federal Reserve would be owed all the interest.
All right.
Instead of China.
You've just laid out a scenario, and that begs the question, and that is printing more money. The presses, I'm sure, are running 25 hours a day. I mean, they're nonstop printing money. So, and you've just kind of alluded to this. What happens? Let me rephrase that. When do you think that the result of all of this, which is going to be hyperinflation, and when you and I talked this week, I think you said that this hyperinflation, we could look for it perhaps, I think you said 2011.
2012, 2013, we believe it'll take full swing. The problem in economics is there is an idea called a lag factor, and a lag factor typically lasts about 18 months. When Federal Reserve raises interest rate targets, it doesn't automatically impact the money supply. It takes about 18 months of a lag factor to work it out.
All right.
Therefore, all the money that's been pushed into the economy cannot be sucked out quickly enough if we wait for the very first signs of a recovery. So what we need to do is we need to raise interest rates now, not later. The problem is the Federal Reserve is not going to raise rates until they see signs of a recovery. From history, we know that if we wait that long, that hyperinflation sets in. So when they first begin to see the signs of the recovery and they begin to raise interest rate targets, We believe they're probably going to fail because there is so much money out in circulation now that reining it all in through interest rate raises is going to be dramatically difficult. So we believe that by 2012, we will begin to see 2011, 2012, mainly the beginning of 2012, we will begin to see this hyperinflation kicking in. And then once the Federal Reserve responds with interest rate target rate hikes, what's going to happen is there's going to be that lag factor, and hyperinflation could get out of control for a period of 18 to possibly 24 months where the Federal Reserve is doing all it can to rein in the money. And so 2012, 2013, we fully expect that to be the story of those 2 years, is hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar.
All right. Here's what we need to do when we get in, and thank you for staying with me for another 15 minutes or so. A couple of things. For one thing, the Bible warns that the rich will wail and howl for their miseries coming, and they have heaped together treasures in the last days. This is from James chapter 5. And the world is living as if the Lord is not coming back. And the question I'm going to pose to you, Jerry, when we come back, is how do Christians maintain a biblical perspective of living in the economic turmoil we are experiencing? Part B, several Bible prophecies indicate that there will be a time of world peace, stability, and apparent economic health when the world leader, known as the Antichrist, assumes power. So how do we reconcile that with the current economic crisis, and how would a world leader ever solve the global debt problem? I want to deal with those two things when we come back, and thank you for staying with us for a few extra minutes. Folks, again, I'm offering you my free print newsletter, Understanding the Times. Five times a year. You can, if you're not in our database and you want to call for the free print newsletter, not in our database, but you are a radio listener, we're offering you the free, actually it's a $24 DVD, God of Wonders. And you can call now and leave your name and address on the voicemail. Call Monday through Friday business hours, 763-493-3010. Let me just explain. A ministry, the hub of a ministry is generally a website and a newsletter. So we would like to have you get even more of the bigger picture by signing on to our print newsletter, Understanding the Times. It is free. It's $10. Excuse me, it's five times a year. And we don't even fundraise in it. So I don't know how you can lose and just ask for God of Wonders if you are not in our database. You want to write to me? It's Box 1452, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. And that's Olive Tree Ministries and attention, Jan Markell. Just a note here that, you know, folks, in Radio Land, we need to hear from you. I know these are tough times, and we're talking about them this hour and part of next. But we need to hear from you. Radio programs and ministries need to hear from listeners or we're gone. KKLA Los Angeles, we need to hear from you. Portland, KPDQ, we need to hear from you. Seattle, KGNW, we need to hear from you. WKTO in Florida, we need to hear from you. WPOS in Toledo, Ohio, we need Sirius Satellite, we need to hear from you. If we don't, in Central Iowa, out of Des Moines, we need to hear from you. If we're not going to hear from you, our voice is silent in your area. I'm not even saying send us money. Drop us an email, a note, say we're listening, we enjoy the program, and that would be tremendously encouraging for us because we're in a time where people are very busy. They're too busy to respond, and that makes us assume there are no listeners, and therefore we have to leave. Okay, we are coming back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to continue with Jerry with these two questions, and then we'll be joined by another guest and another topic. So please stick with us, Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, your host. We're coming right back. Please don't touch that dial.
Yeah.
If Jan Markell's radio outreach has helped you understand the times, would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries? You can write to Box 1452, that's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or call 763-493-3010, 763-493-3010. You also can order and donate safely online at olivetreeviews.org. And thanks for listening to Understanding the Times.